You have heard the text already written, already read from Isaiah chapter 42, the Old Testament lesson for this coming Sunday, the first Sunday after Epiphany. So grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're going to recognize the men in the SMP program who have finished their program and received their calls. This is surely an appropriate time in the church year to celebrate such an event, since the whole point of the season is that our Lord is not the Savior of only one particular ethnic group, but is in fact the Savior of the world. And our important work in that task needs more people. I suppose our challenge is to avoid adopting the very basic but wrong idea that drove much of Jewish faith and life. God had delivered them from Egypt, made a covenant with them at Sinai, and spoken to them countless times through the prophets. In their eyes, Jewish people were and would always be God's chosen people. Gentiles were welcome to adopt a Jewish lifestyle and even become physically Jews, but if they did do that, and overwhelmingly non-Jews did not do that, that was okay too. What difference does it make? Who needs them? But St. Paul has a different idea. Was his idea in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we need to get beyond the old-fashioned ethnocentric thinking and recognize that anyone is in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new is come. And then in verse 19, he says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. We are a new creation reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, and God has entrusted to us a message that reconciles the world, sharing the good news of Jesus with people different from ourselves is not optional. It is who we are as God's new creation. But how do we do it? And that's the question that is raised for us in our Isaiah text for today. It's clear that God, from that text, that God is going to take action through a person, but who is it? Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. But who is that servant? Could be Isaiah, and there's lots of writing that identifies him. But it would seem rather strange that God would speak directly to the prophet in the third person. Wouldn't God say, I have put my spirit upon you, rather than I have put my spirit upon him? Another solution might be that the servant is the whole people of Israel. That is, in fact, the solution that is adopted by the translators of the Old Testament into Greek, the Septuagint, during their work probably about three centuries before Christ. They simply added a word to the text. Israel is my chosen one. My soul has accepted him. I'm all in favor of modern Bible translations that express the word of God in clear and straightforward language, but it's not a translation best practice to resolve ambiguity by adding words to the text. In many ways, however, I hope that the translators were right, because the mission of God is not a task of a few professionals. It's far too important for that. But it belongs to and depends on the whole people of God. Indeed, this is how God gets his work done in our world. In the words of the prophet, these are the people that he uses, the people that are not very good at self-promotion, calling attention to themselves, but they are patient, and they are not upset by the weaknesses of others, and they meet people where they are. In our congregation, my wife and I and one of the mothers agreed that we would go on a prayer walk in the neighborhoods close to our church with six of our young people. We divided into three teams and stopped at every home on both sides of the street, introduced ourselves and our congregation, and asked if they had anything they wanted us to pray for, either on the spot there or to carry back to our congregation. If you haven't done this, you will be surprised by how open and accepting people are. We came to a home and met a young Roman Catholic mother. She was married to a man who tolerated her faith, but it made it clear that he had no intention of sharing it, and as a result, her baby daughter was unbaptized. She was talking to me as the adult, and it was all civilized and polite. But when she asked a question, and my high school junior companion offered an answer, serious conversation began. And I just listened. I learned a lot that day. The whole people of God are his servants, whom he accepts and loves and uses in his service. But when we ask who is the servant, we have to go one step farther, and that's the gospel lesson that we heard yesterday, Matthew 12, who quotes Isaiah 42. Jesus knew that the Pharisees were plotting to do away with him, and as Matthew puts it, Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him. And he healed them all and ordered them not to make him known. This, says Matthew, shows that Jesus was the servant whom God had chosen. He healed people, but he ordered them not to tell. His was not a flamboyant ministry out in the streets filled with one healing show after another. The Roman world was filled with those kinds of people, as we can glimpse in the story of Simon in Acts 8. No, Jesus came as an obedient and humble servant of God who looked at the needs of the world, offered himself for our sakes on the cross, and as Matthew says, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. And in his name we indeed hope. But on this day, when we recognize the SMP students and their calls, God makes one more promise in the last verse that we must pay attention to. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Let me say that again. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. It is quite a promise that God makes to us. You were impressed by the goodness and mercy of God that you have seen so far? You haven't seen anything yet, because I'm always doing something new. It may be God's sense of humor. More likely, it's his recognition of our need. You don't have to wander around wondering what's going to happen next. God says, I will tell you what comes next. The key to ministry is listening. May the Lord bless all of us with listening ears. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.